Hjertelig velkommen. Du hører nå på en podcast fra Tønsberg Frikirke.
Psalms 107, I'm going to read from verse 19 down to verse 22. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Father, I want to thank and praise you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy. I want to thank and praise you for what you've been doing over these 2 days, oh Lord. You're so good. You are mighty and strong to deliver. I want to thank and praise you, Father God, for your precious crown jewels that are in this room today. Every single soul is precious to you. We want to thank and praise you, Father God, for liberating us, for setting us free from ourselves. Thank you, Abba. Thank you so much. And thank you for your thoughts and plans that you have towards us, thoughts of peace and of hope to give us a future and expected end. So we commit ourselves to your word and to your grace. We pray, oh God, as we read your word, that your grace will come as an elevator to lift us up to meet the demands of the truth that you have provided to set us free today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen. Well, when I say it's good to be here, I really mean it. Because I've had a battle today. Something happened here yesterday. The devil didn't like what was going on. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 that he sends his word, just like how the rain and snow comes down and waters the earth, so his word shall not return to him void, unaccomplished. Something went on yesterday. I never came to Norway with any thoughts of what I was going to preach. I didn't know who I was coming to preach to. So I came here and started praying. And then he just released what he wanted to release to me. And yesterday when I came in here and it was Isaiah 6, it was just about an hour before I came to the meeting that the Lord just placed that on my heart. In the year Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the year pride died, I saw the Lord. All through the Bible, it speaks about open heavens. You can go from Genesis right to Revelation about open heavens. But usually it's all about trying to get something down to bless us or have a good time. But when the heavens was open for Isaiah, it was for Isaiah to see himself, but to see the Lord high and lifted up. And I'm going to tell you this right now, that I'm so encouraged that he has sent his word to deliver us. When I came in this morning and my precious sister Ellen was here, up here, oh, what a mighty woman of God. I was just enjoying the word of God that was going forth, and then suddenly something came in my chest and my head felt like it was going to explode. And I was under an attack. I couldn't stop coughing. Body started to shiver, my head was swelling, and I knew we've hit something. Someone said, wow. I know when we hit something. Because when you hit something, the devil wants to hit back. But greater is he that's with us than he that's in the world. And when you've been to where I've been and you've been dead and been raised from the dead, you know who wins the battle. Oh, come on, no. Oh, I don't want any can shares in here. When you've come through a battle and you've experienced victory and the greatest enemy, death, has been conquered, you know that our God can do anything. Amen. At any time, anywhere. Amen? Amen. And I want to say this right now. I haven't been in Tonsberg for years to preach. Years. I saw one of my pastor friends here from many years. He used to be my translator. He was here last night. I haven't been here preaching for years. And I didn't want to tell you something. We hit something. Something got hit in the atmosphere. Are you hearing me? There's been strongholds of the enemy has held God's people here captive for a long time. And when I went to my room and I had to lock away, I wanted to be in the seminars. I love to sit and listen to other people minister because I get more out of listening to other people than listening to myself. Some people only want to listen to themselves. They only come along to the meetings when they're preaching. What a sad state. We need each other. So, I'm going to go to John's Gospel 12. I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures. Say amen.
Amen.
Because he sent his word. Something has broken open in this place, and the greatest enemy that's in the kingdom of God was hit last night, and that's pride. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
Pride. We need to understand, we saw with Peter, when he got a revelation of who Jesus was, suddenly pride came in. He wanted to rebuke Jesus. We saw with the Apostle Paul, he said, because of the abundance of revelation I receive, an angel from Satan came to buffet me. And I asked God 3 times to take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient, for in your weakness I'm made strong. Paul steps back and he says this, now I understand. I received that angel from Satan to keep me humble because of the abundance of revelation that I was receiving. The biggest downfall for anyone who has any experience with God and his word and has an unveiling of his truth is to deal with pride. Because then you know something that other people don't know. Well, we think we do. There's nothing new under the heaven. It may be just the environment you're in that you get a revelation, but nothing's new to God. And that should tell us that we need to be humble, because the very revelation you get, it's one thing to have a revelation from God. It's another thing to be able to deliver that revelation. And it's another thing for the revelation to be received. Jesus could not do many miracles in 3 places, and yet still he's done miracles all the time. Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum. He couldn't do many miracles there because of unbelief. And you need to understand the root of unbelief is pride. Yeah. I'll say in Norwegian, stolthed. But you know how much the Lord loves us? We read in the Word of God that there was a man, I think it's Mark chapter 8, and he was blind. And it says that 2 men brought him to the edge of Bethsaida. And Jesus took him by the hand, took him out of Bethsaida, and then spat in his eyes. I thank God he was blind, because he didn't see what was coming. If he saw what was coming, he probably would have moved. But I thank God that sometimes we don't know what's coming. But whatever's coming from him is good. And he asked the man, how do you see? And the man said, I see men as trees. That means that he had vision before. He knew what trees looked like. And Jesus touched him again. You see, the thing was, he was brought out of Bethsaida, the place of unbelief, but the place and the environment was still inside of him. And I believe tonight we're going to have a second touch. We saw the Lord high and lifted up. We saw ourselves. The whole praise, everything in these meetings, it's not even an atmosphere, it's a climate. Most of you, I walked through Norway and the sun can be shining. You know, thank God for the sun. But you can't grow bananas and mangoes and pineapples here in Norway. Because the climate's not conducive to that. But if I take you to where I was born, oh man, you got mangoes. You haven't just got the sun, you've got all the fruit to go with it.
Yes.
And we say, Father God, we want the fruit to go with the climate. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I got something for you tonight, because I'm standing here as a miracle, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. But we serve a miracle working God.
Amen.
And the last thing I read last night was in Isaiah 6 verse 8. After all that Isaiah saw, and he even saw that he missed the mark in sin, and God said, your iniquity has been forgiven. That means moral depravity. Yet still, he was not under condemnation. Are you hearing me? You don't leave this time and close heaven and say, oh, it was a good time. Can't share. No. You leave here saying, I'm not the same.
Yes.
Isaiah, God said, who should I send? He said, here I am.
Yes.
Send me. Whatever your failure was, whatever your sin was, whatever your iniquity was, it's past. It's over. We're going forward in Jesus' name. And whatever environment you represent, you are going to see his kingdom come and his will be done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I told you last night, I think the last time, maybe it was last night, I can't even remember. They told me I'd have brain damage when they came and brought me back from the dead. Some things I remember, some things I can't remember. But I have to tell you, I think I have selective amnesia. I choose to remember some things, and I choose to forget some things. But I told you, I couldn't even, they told me I wouldn't walk for 6 months, and I have all these bags. But I told you last night, that's the last thing I think I told you, that when I walked out of that hospital, I walked out in style. Oh, you hear me? You Norwegians need to try, you need to try this walk. We talk the talk and we walk the walk. John 12:44. Take your Bibles in verse 44 to 50. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. This is my key verse here, verse 45. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. For every child of God that is truly born again, that should be our testimony. Whoever sees me, they see him who sent me. The me must go. Now you've gone quiet. Verse 46, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I was preaching that for years. But when I was in hospital and raised from the dead, it became a reality. Are you hearing me? Because when they saw me, every doctor and nurse turned around and said, you are a living miracle.
Yeah.
They did not see me. They saw him who sent me. And that's why I'm here. Why would he bring me back to life and heal every part of my body? With no medication. Why would he do that? You know, when I was in hospital and I was cut up all over, they had a morphine pump. People have asked me, Dennis, do you think that maybe the morphine gave you your experience when you went into the presence of the Lord? Morphine? Give me more morphine! Morphine didn't let me. Do you know what happened? One of the nurses should come in, I had a pump on them. So if I have pain, in my whole experience of that time in hospital, I had no pain. Yala was with me in Israel when it happened. I had no pain. And so they gave me a pump.
So if I needed morphine, and I remember one nurse came in and said, Mr. Greenidge, don't try to be a hero and bear the pain. Take the morphine. Poor precious lady. She didn't realize I was a hero. We are overcomers. We are more than overcomers. We are conquerors through Christ Jesus. John 12:45, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I want to just bring us forward, because right now I'm seeing it all around the world. There are those that are now taking the Bible, bringing their own interpretation, their opinions. Oh, dear Lord, your opinion will determine your attitude, and your attitude will determine your performance. I don't want my opinion concerning the Word of God. I meet with all kinds of people. I see Muslims, Hindus. I see people of all kinds of backgrounds come to Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I haven't got my own opinion. I'm so dumb. I'm so thick. I'm a very simple man. You understand? I haven't even got an opinion. What I have is the truth of God's word. Are you hearing me? And it's amazing. It's amazing how it works. We need to get rid of our pride, because, you know, pride puffs up. Pride makes you stupid. I don't know if I can say that in Norway. But it does. But the word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and it's a mirror. And it's a wonderful mirror. Because when you look at the mirror, you see what you are. When you look into the mirror, you see what you should be and what you will be. For 2 Peter 3:10 to 12, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. That's the word of God. Jesus speaking. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person, in light of all these things that are going to happen, what manner of persons ought we to be? Holy in conduct and godliness. And I have not got a translator here. Someone's translating in the back. I don't know what the word godliness, I can't remember in Norwegian. I don't know what it says in your Bible. I hope we have the same Bible. Yeah, good frikti. That seems, that's like a fear of God?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we should be people who walk in the fear of God. That's what godliness means. Verse 12, looking for and hasten the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. 2 Peter 2:9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. Is that the same word? Yeah? Norwegian? Out of temptation to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the cherubim came and touched his lips, he was changed forever. When we get born again, we don't get born again just to go and do the same old things. Are you hearing me? We should be striving towards being godly, and we have God's word and his Holy Spirit to help us. Yeah? Acts 4:13. I just want to give you the word of God, because it's so important. It's the word of God that came to my family. Some of you heard me say, my mother was from a broken family, didn't have no mother and father, 10 years old, and a Norwegian woman came, and under a tree shared Jesus with her, and now we reach over 80 nations. Come on. You are here. That's the same God that's here. And Satan's stronghold of pride has been broken. And now you're going to experience the grace of God like you've never known before. Because he gives more grace to the humble. Amen. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realize that they had been with Jesus. That's what people need to realize about your life. That you've been with Jesus. Not been hanging around with the pastor. That's not a bad thing. But you've been with Jesus. Does that make sense? Now, there are certain things why this has been on my heart, because we're called to be godly. And godliness gives credibility. And the church needs credibility back. No. You know, I grew up in England and I went to a church school. I had the biggest shock when I started preaching in Norway, because it was like another world to me. In England, because, you know, even with Christianity and whatever, you never saw people on the doorstep of the church. Should I take my glasses off? I need to see you. You never saw, as a boy growing up, you never saw a person go near a church. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about people who are not Christian. They would never go near a church door. Down the road, when they came near the church, there was a respect. Are you hearing me? There was a respect. And that's how I grew up. And I wasn't even born again. There was a respect. Now, when you start having people around you that are godly, it will have an effect. Godliness brings credibility. The church needs to be made credible again. And how does that happen? Christ in you. You don't have to go and telling people, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. No, there's something about the pureness of the presence of God. It's not, I'm not talking about religious stuff. I'm not talking about being legal or legalistic. And I see here, let's look at this. Joshua. Oh, glory to God. Joshua 1, 16 to 17. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. I saw that Joshua had the people follow him because the way that he was with Moses. Yeah, he had credibility. If you go back in Exodus, you will see that there came a time when God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to come up to the mountain and see me. And he said, come up and be there. And he said, I want you to bring the 70 elders, Aaron, Abed, bring them up and bring them halfway. Hello? Bring them halfway. But you, Moses, I want you to come up. Now, listen to me. Joshua, you know your Bible, Joshua always stuck following Moses. Yeah. Even when the tabernacle was there, Joshua would go and stay longer. He didn't know he was going to be the second leader. He wasn't thinking about that. All he was thinking about was seeing and recognizing that Moses was set apart. Now, when they went up on the mountain, they came up, the Bible says they ate, they drank, the elders, they ate, they drank. I'm not saying the elders eat and drink, I'm just saying that's what it said in the Bible. They ate and they drank, yes. They saw, it says, the feet of God, and then they went down. Why would God say to bring the elders only up halfway? Because he knew that their commitment in their heart was a halfway commitment. He said, Moses, you alone, come up and be there. The Bible says that Moses rose up early in the morning, the elders and elders, they ate, and they went back down. That's when they went down and ended up building that calf. God knew their hearts. He knows our hearts. Doesn't matter how good you put things together. as I said, as God spoke to me many years ago, Dennis, your gift is taking you where your character can't keep you. I began to develop my gift, people getting healed, all kinds of things happening, but the character of God was not in me. The gifts come without repentance. What happened? Moses went up, it says, and Moses went up early in the morning, and it says, and Joshua rose and went with him. But didn't God say to Moses, you come alone? Didn't he say that? How come God didn't say, Moses, what's Joshua doing with you? Joshua had the heart of Moses. So they were one in heart. The Bible says that Moses went up on a mountain and for 6 days he stood outside. 6 days waiting. On the seventh day, God called him in. Six in the Bible stands for humanity, for flesh. He had to wait. 6 hours is a long time waiting. 6 minutes is a long time waiting. 6 days. And then God called him in. Can you remember when the ark came back the wrong way? They had to, every six steps, they stopped and they sacrificed. Can you remember when they went around Jericho? They had to walk around 6 days without saying anything. I've never done this before in my life, but we were in a prayer meeting. There was hundreds of people with me on Tuesday before I came here on Wednesday. And while we're in the prayer meeting, I haven't played much music for a long time, but we were in this prayer meeting on the Tuesday I came here. It's full of people. And all of a sudden, I had very bad back pain. And the pain was so bad, I didn't want the people to be disturbed. And I heard, go and take the Trekspiel. We don't know one, Trekspiel?
Yeah.
We have one. No one plays it in the church. Take the Trekspiel, Ud. He didn't. I'm saying that in Norwegian. He didn't speak to me in Norwegian. He said, go and get the accordion. I took the accordion out. That's going to be the hardest thing for me to play with back pain. Yeah. And I start to play. And now people like to see the pastor play because I didn't. And all of a sudden I heard, we are going to march around this church, tell them, 6 times in silence. If I knew how long that would take and how hard it was going to be, and I'm going to play the accordion in pain, I would never do it. But I did it. And all our people was marching around quietly while I'm... It took ages. Because there's so many people, they're all walking like this. And I'm saying, speed it up. But they can't because they're bumping into each other. That's what happened before I came here. But you need to know this. By the time they got to the seventh time and shouted, if you heard the sound, and I believe that was what happened that broke me in to get that message for last night. I had an army of people. All stuff is going through your mind while you're marching. 6 times. What's this all about? The pastor's gone off his head again. I might as well do it because they'll know that I'm not with it. All kind of stuff. But by the time they got into the seventh march, they were all ready to shout together. And that is what catapulted me to come here as an arrowhead. That was the shaft that broke something yesterday. That's the same people that refused not to go home and not to stop praying when they got the news that I was dead. It was the same people that said, we're getting our pastor back and not in broken pieces. We need credibility. We need our credibility back. And it's coming back in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Every leader that's been hurt, every leader that's got it wrong, every leader that's been called by God in Norway, we all make mistakes. We all mess up. We so often try to please the people when we should be pleasing God. But God's bringing credibility back to the church. And we will say, Lord, help me to follow where you're leading. Give me a Joshua mentality. Give me a Joshua heart. that I will do what you want me to do in the name of Jesus. I declare today that the church in Norway will get its credibility back. This country sent so many missionaries out that impacted places around the world. Are you hearing me? And what I see right now, you young people, God bless you. Oh, hallelujah. God bless you. Your worship and your time before the Lord is just wonderful. The way you wait upon the Lord. Listen to me. He's building an army. Amen. He's building an army. Are you hearing me? He's building an army. And this army will not be an army bound by tradition or feelings or the intents of man. No. If him raising me from the dead when I could do nothing for myself and couldn't say anything about even me praying or doing anything myself, and my testimony went to over 100 million people around the world in 125 countries, if he done that through my nothingness, then you have to understand he can do a lot with yours. Tra-la-la. Do you remember what the prophet asked the woman, what have you got in the house? She said, nothing. Except a bit of oil and some meal. He said, go in there and make a cake for me first. Go and make something out of your nothing. I speak over your nothing in the name of Jesus. Your nothing is something. For it to be nothing, it must be something. Don't work it out now. Work it out tomorrow. I say, Father, I give you everything. You know what everything is. So credibility is coming. Godliness will bring credibility. Godliness will bring actually influence. Look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 21 to 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. Lord, let this happen again. Because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. No Ten Commandments, no Bible, but a love and a passion for God. I declare it in Jesus' name. I told you some of you, I told you the other day, maybe it's in the Bible school, that the very building that is now our main prayer chapel was the building when I was the only black boy, and they made me read when I had a stuttering tongue at 9 years old. I own the building now, the school building. Are you hearing me? It's not because of anything of ourselves, but Christ in you is the hope of glory. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, for breaking the spirit of pride and removing it from me. Now, Lord, help me to understand through humility, you are going to be glorified. Not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto your name be glory. Amen. Now you need to understand, if God could bless Joseph in a pit, and if he can bless Joseph as a slave, we're not surprised that he could bless him in prison. You're blessed. Are you hearing me? You're blessed. You're blessed. Don't let me have to tell you stories. It seems like when I tell people stories of things that happen in my life, it seems you get very excited. I'm trying to get you excited over the word of God. You are blessed. Yes. I think I shared this in the Bible school the other day. Thank you, my dear. I was coming home from Turkey years ago, and I got on the plane, and I was the only man of this color on the plane, and I sat next to a woman. You're blessed. When I sit next to the woman on the plane, she was a different color. And as soon as I sat down like this, she just pulled away. And I don't know why. I'm born again. I'm spirit-filled. I love the Lord. I speak in tongues. But when she pulled away like this, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I just I didn't want to offend her, and I found myself sitting like this. It was 5 hours flight back to London from Turkey. And in my mind, I said, God, I can't sit here like this for 5 hours. And I heard a voice say, you don't have to. We are called when we're being godly to have influence. We will have influence. But we're human beings and we're in the flesh. Are you hearing me? And what people do oftentimes, we don't realize how much it affects us. And we, instead of responding, we react. I reacted and I sat like this and I was really like a straitjacket. And then I said, Lord, then you have to help me. And I heard, offer her a sweet. You know? I said, I can't do that. In my head. She doesn't like me. I told, because of her body language, I told the Lord she doesn't like me. And I heard that she doesn't know you. We come to conclusions about things. I told him in my mind, she doesn't like me because of her reaction towards me. And when he says something, you realize how stupid we are, if I can use that term without offending you. I'm now speaking to myself and telling myself she doesn't like me. And then the Lord says, she doesn't know you. So I thought it's better to give her a sweet than to sit 5 hours like this. So I offered her a sweet. And when I offered her the sweet, she looked like this at me and she said, who, me? And I said, yeah, yeah. And she said, oh, okay. She took the sweet. She took a sweet in. I took one in. We sat on the plane. The loudest sweet sucking. And then suddenly she just done this. She just said, do you want to put your arm on the rest? I thought, my God, this is amazing. So we relaxed and I took a book out, and the book was by a man called Francis Frangipane. And it was about the holiness and the presence of God. And I was reading the book. Now, I'm very relaxed. I'm reading the book. As I'm reading the book, she starts to look over. She's by the window. She starts to look over like this. So I took the book and I put it like this in the middle. And she's reading. And remember, this is a woman that seemed hostile to me. And I turned the page and she said, I haven't finished yet. He knows. Some of the most strangest things happen to me and to you. Things that we don't understand, that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when she said that, she started reading the book, and then suddenly the same woman who was not so nice became nice, went not so nice again. And she said to me, just really angry, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, why would you say that? She said, because that's a Christian book. And if there's a God, why is there so much suffering? Just like that, she just went off. And I thought, dear God, there's no other, I can't give her another sweet for this one. But what happened was, I said to her, you know, for you to say what you're saying, there's an experience that you went through, and I probably can't relate to it But for you to say, why is it a God and why is he making people suffer? I said, you know, God gets blamed for everything, the God I know. She said, well, my husband and my son, they both died in a car crash. And when she said that, of course, that really touched my heart. And I said to her, I cannot even begin to imagine what you're feeling, what you went through. But I want to say this right now, that we have an enemy in this world, and his name is Satan. And I said, everyone blames God for a lot of the things that he does. But I said, did your husband and your son have a relationship with the God that you say that is bad? She said, no, we're not religious. We had no relationship. Well, I said, I have a relationship with him. And I want to tell you something right now. I can't do anything about where what's happened to them. But I understand why I'm sitting next to you. And right there, she started to cry. And this is what she told me. See that very book? Her daughter had got saved a few weeks before. Or I can't remember if it's months or weeks. I can't. It's quite a long time now. But her daughter had sent her the same book. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you what happened. And she said to me, I have been fighting because my daughter's become born again. And I have been fighting because I'm angry with God for what happened to my husband and my son. Anyway, cut a long story short, I asked her, would you like to give what's in your heart to God and see how he can help you? And she said, yes, please. And I started to pray with her on the plane. Remember, I'm a pastor. I speak and preach to crowds. And I'm on a plane with just one woman. And all of a sudden, I start to pray with her. And as I'm praying with her, I heard ching, ching, ching. You know, the ear hostess coming with the trolley. And when I was praying with the woman and saw the ear hostess, the woman was crying, her eyes were closed, and she was really into God, 30,000 feet up in the air. And I'm praying and looking and thinking, if that air hostess sees me as a black man with this woman crying, it's going to look like I have done something wrong to her. So automatically, I start to speed the prayer up. Father, I just want to thank and praise you right now. I've got to... You see, we are not honest. We are not honest. You will stand and you will tell a story and you'll show all the good side. But you don't show your weakness. You don't show your inferiority. You don't show the areas that really magnifies how good God is. And as I was doing that and praying, she said to me, why are you rushing the prayer? By the time I finished praying with her and she gave her life to Jesus, I need her to pray for me. God uses us. Are you hearing me? He uses us. And we get so proud in ourselves and don't understand we are what we are because of the grace of God. And in no way, the Spirit of God is going to be able to find temples again where he can come in and live and use our lives for the glory of God, and we will be an influence again in Jesus' name. I work with Iranians. I work with people in the underground church, and they have nothing like what we have. No facilities, no instruments. They can't even be in a church. They have to hide. And yet still I see the demonstration of the power of God. You know why? Because they're honest. God is not looking for good people. There are none. He's looking for honest people. Yes. Father, I want to walk in godliness so that I can be an influence. And I can declare, Lord, when you see me, you see him who sent me. Are you hearing me? When you see me, you see him who sent me. You can witness to people, you can share with people, and they seem to have, it may seem like it's water off a duck's back, it's not going through. My two neighbors are English people. One was a top policeman, the other one's a top builder on both sides of my house. They've asked me questions about what I do and who I am. I've shared Jesus with them. They never bow their head and give their life to the Lord. But you listen to me. When I came out of hospital, my neighbor, the policeman, came out with tears in his eyes and said, "Dennis, I want to tell you something. When we knew that we were going to lose you, I went to the neighbor next door, Mel, and I said, 'Mel, Dennis believes in the man upstairs. Let's pray to the man upstairs.' And my two unsaved neighbors prayed for me." You don't know the influence that's in your life. I declare today in the name of Jesus Christ, every school in Norway, every institution, every hospital. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Every neighborhood. I spent 10 years of my life, from 20 to 30, just coming to Norway. We're not preaching, just walking around Kristiansand and those areas, just praying for Norway. God gave me, I was 20 years old, a burden for this nation, because this nation brought the gospel to my mother. Are you hearing me? So I'm not here giving you no sermon. I'm telling you right now that godliness brings influence, whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Godliness brings protection. Don't fear. Are you hearing me? Don't fear. Don't fear. Just do what God says. You don't fear. Ooh, hallelujah. Don't fear. God is with you. Once I start seeing the church grow, my thing was always being prayer and discipleship. I have about 40 men that have been trained up within just one church. That they can preach, they can do everything. And God told me, "You've done a good job here. Back out in the streets with the homeless and never tell them who you are. Because your gift can take you where your character can't keep you. And you can become like a little lord position." No, we don't want to have a position for people to look at. We want to be positioned before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the only way to be positioned before him is to be bowed down before him. So I say tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, when I was in that room today, I said, "Father God, what's happened to my body? What's happening? Couldn't stop coughing, nose running, everything." I heard, "It's not natural, it's spiritual. You've hit something here." I said, "God, I'm coming out tonight and I'm going to give them it full blast." Yeah. It cost me. He said, "Tell them, I want godliness. I'm going to protect them." Look here. Look at 2 Peter 2 verse 5. "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." Listen to me. All kinds of things are happening, but God will protect you. Amen? Amen. We have to follow Jesus' example. How many here want to follow Jesus' example?
Yes.
That's about half of you, but... okay. Lord, half is better than none. John 14:9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" John 8:29, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I always do the things that please him." Do we always do the things that please him? Or do we spend our time doing the things that please people? Do we spend our time trying to find a sermon or a message or put something together that the people can respond to? Stop it. you do what God wants and you'll find a real response that God wants. Do the right thing at the right time. And understand this, that we've been called to be examples of Jesus Christ. When you see me, you see him. In flying to Norway, there have been times when I've been on the plane and sitting next to someone and be a total stranger. And before I know it, by the time I get to Norway, they invited me to their house. Sinners. I've had a lot of Norwegian meals with people I don't know. That's what they used to do with Jesus. Can you come home with me? I need him every hour. But I realize we need to say it the way it is. We need to show. Don't be trying to show him all your good areas. Show him the areas that he needs to work on. Just be honest before the Lord. Just be honest. Be honest with each other. There's no point sitting in a congregation and you don't even know the people you sit with. Everyone's. Tuck a love. No, that's all going. I believe in being real. Are you hearing me? I don't know anyone, sinner or saint, who does not expect me to say the truth. Are you hearing me? If someone's running away from me, they're running for the reason that they're going to hear the truth. We had one of our brothers in the church. He was only 50, just turned 50. And we had a prayer meeting in the morning. He was healthy. He was a roofer. And he just got saved 5 years. And his name was Dennis. And he was in the prayer meeting on a Friday morning. And after that Friday morning, he came and he grabbed me. His wife was there, 6 o'clock in the morning. And he grabbed me and he started to pray, God, please don't let our pastor Dennis die. Please, God. I'm standing there, he's so big, and I'm thinking, what's he talking about me dying? And he's crying. He went home. And when he went home, his wife told me, he fell on his knees and was bawling his eyes out, saying, God, don't let our pastor die, we need him. 4 days later, I was putting 5, 7 new leaders in, and the phone was off. When I put the phone on after the meeting, my sister rang and said to me, Dennis has gone home. I said, what do you mean? He's just died. His name was Dennis. He was praying for me. We have it all recorded. Our servers are recorded. And he died. They don't even know the cause. And he was grabbing me. People in the neighborhood heard, unsaved people in our neighborhood heard that Dennis died and they thought it was me. And they came looking to the church saying, oh God, no, has Pastor Dennis died? You don't know who's watching you. Are you hearing me? You don't know who's watching your life. If you have nothing good to say, say nothing. Ing and ting. Say nothing. Don't speak bad against any brother. Don't speak bad. If you have nothing good to say, say ing and ting. Amen. I'm going to preach to these people. Yeah. Listen to me. My father used to always tell me, in everyone, there is some good. Spend your time looking for that. It might take you longer than... Spend your time looking for the good.
Yes.
God is about to do something that you've never seen before. It's now happening everywhere. You have power over the force of evil. Kenya, bless you, Kenya. I was flying home from Norway once, and I was on the plane, and I got news that there was going to be a big Islamic march that was going to go through London from Parliament to Trafalgar Square. And listen to me, don't underestimate the godliness that God has placed in your life. And I came home, and when I came home, I heard the news, and they said that they're going to have all these Muslims marching because they declared they're taking over England. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. I sent a text out to some of the members. I said, I am going, I've just got back from Norway, I'm going to Parliament to pray and to walk up on the route that they're going to have their march. And I'm going there 11 o'clock in the night. Anyone who wants to join me, meet me at the church the next night, 10 o'clock. When I came to the church, 130 people was waiting. They weren't Norwegian. We took the minibus, went in cars, we went up there. And then we went up there. All of a sudden, we got there about 11 o'clock. We started at Parliament, and I knew the route that this march, thousands are going to march there. So I said, listen to me, we're going to walk in twos. Yes, we will march in twos. And there's not any noise. I printed out the scriptures that we are going to declare over our nation. No, we're not just not wishful thinking, oh Lord, please stop the Muslims. No. We are going to declare God's word that he's given over this nation. Yes. This word shall not return void. So in twos, we walked up there. And then as we were walking up at Trafalgar Square, there is four lions. Have you been there? Okay, there's four big lions. As we were walking up, in the night, if you have 130 people walking in pairs in the night, it can look like 3,000. Because it's dark, and all you hear is... All of a sudden, we heard... And on one of the lions was a man blowing a shofar. He thought that we was the Muslims come early. They were from a Colombian church, and there was only seven of them. Something's going to break in Norway. I know it. Is it a duck?
It's my daughter.
The ducks come to church? Quack, quack. No, don't be sorry. It's a good place. So we're up there, and he thought that we were like a lot of Muslims coming, and he was blowing a shofar. They were from a Colombian church, a very small church, and there were seven of them. They were eating in a restaurant that night, as just a small fellowship, and they got the news about this march. So they heard, go to Trafalgar Square and pray. There was only seven of them. And when they were there, they saw us all coming. They thought that we was Muslims. And when we got there to Trafalgar Square, they was up on, well, some of them were up on the lion, and one was blowing the trumpet. And then I said, let's make a big circle. If you have 130 people, you can make a big circle. Yeah. And so we made a big circle around Trafalgar Square. Yes? And we were holding hands. And I did not know that that was not, you have to get permission to do that. I didn't know. Okay? I didn't know. So we were all holding hands. Yes? And we were praying. And then those people realized that we were Christians. They jumped off. Those who were on the lion, they jumped off and started to come into the circle. And they joined with us. Seven joined 130. The security came and came to some of the people from our church and said, you have to stop this now. This is, you're breaking the law. You have to stop it. And they said to him, the security man, you need to go and speak to him. And I must have been there praying and really going. So they didn't want to come to me. They went and got the police. So I was going for it. And we were all, and as long as they see the pastor going for it, they're not worried about anyone else. They were going for it. And the police came, and they came. It was a police, I think one police, two policemen, I think, and one policewoman. And when I was praying, the policeman was afraid. It's good to be godly. He was afraid. So he sent the policewoman. How many want to be godly? And I'm there praying, and the policewoman, she came, and I'm praying, and I just felt this gentle hand. So I looked, and she said, I said, hello, officer. She said, what are you doing? I said, our nation is under attack. And we are here to stop it. And she said, please carry on. And I'm saying this, that march never happened. They never said why it was cancelled. It never happened. It's about time we rise up. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. I've just finished come back last Saturday for being with all these young evangelists from all over England that asked me to come in and to encourage them because the churches have not really accepted them. Because they're afraid, because they're out on the streets healing the sick and preaching. And it's disturbed those who just want to stand behind a pulpit and have an audience. They don't want them in. They said, Pastor Dennis, can you come and speak to you? You know, I'm not as young as I look. And don't tell me how young I look. But I was with all these young evangelists and I started to cry last week as I was speaking to them. They're on fire for God. But they've just made history because they went. One of them had a dream and rang me up and said to me, Pastor Dennis, I had a dream and I saw myself walking with the Prime Minister. And Pastor Dennis, I said to him, we want Trafalgar Square. We want the whole of Trafalgar Square to put a platform up between those four lions. We want to have prayer tents. He told me that. That was just, I think, in the end of December. I said, let's pray. On the 4th of May, we have the whole of Trafalgar Square. And it's not about me. God's giving credibility. You know why? There are people who want to be godly. And you're going to walk into lions' dens and they will not. The lion will just become a lovely quilt and a lovely pillar. You're going to walk into the fire and Jesus is going to be seen there. You know why? Because when pride is broken and crushed, humility proceeds before holiness. And holiness brings power. And I want to pray with people right now. Because when you look at Romans, you look at verse 1 to 11 in Romans, that letter, it's all about duty. And doctrine. And that's all necessary. And we need it. But the Apostle Paul knew that even in his sincerity before his conversion, he was religious and he knew he was sincere but sincerely wrong. And we can be in the church doing things our own way, fueled by pride, be sincere, but we're doing so much damage because God resists the proud. But Paul found the answer. He said in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, after all I have taught you about duty and doctrine, it's going to mean nothing. So I beg you, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you will know the perfect will of God. Come on. Presentation. Separation. Transformation brings demonstration. So I beg you today, I shed my tears when he raised me from the dead, and I couldn't face anyone for 3 months without bursting out crying. But when I couldn't speak, doctors and nurses and my community was touched when I just started to cry. And I realized that tears are a language that only God understands. And a broken and a contrite heart, he will not despise. In English, the word broken, contrite, in Hebrew, it's daka. It means to take a solid, and it's a solid, and break it and crush it into dust. It is the same content, but because it's dust, you can put it into anything. Are you hearing me? If I tried to get this into this bottle, it wouldn't go in. If I made it into dust, it's the same content. I could get it into the bottle. Listen to me very carefully. God wants contrite hearts. He wants hearts that are willing to be broken and crushed. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Long before I was a pastor, I was a young person like you. I had neighbors around me. And I didn't even think about them. And one of my neighbors, I bought my first house at 22 years old. He was deaf. And I was out walking my dog in a field I used to pray in the mornings. Even the dogs, the two dogs, once I stopped in the field and said, Father, I thank you, the two dogs would just lie down. I'm not making this up. Every day, twice a day. And the minute I said, Amen, they would run. Listen to me. The presence of God is so tangible. Just like how the dogs fell down, my boss fell on the floor and gave his life to the Lord. I have people that have got saved 40 years ago by just falling down. It was nothing. I couldn't preach. The presence of the Lord. We need his presence back. And his presence comes from the fear of God. And I sensed his presence here. And Satan wanted to do everything to keep me away from this platform. He wanted to do everything to keep me away from speaking. Do you know why? Because the word of God is powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And my neighbor who was deaf, I was walking the dog. This is long before I was in ministry. But I had a passion for souls. And I said, I heard, you live next to him. Have you shared the gospel? And I said, Lord, he can't hear me. He never spoke to me. When he would come out in the morning, he'd just come out. He never spoke. He just walked straight past. I said, Lord, he can't hear me. And I heard, can't he read? And a conviction came over me. And I rang my boss at work and said, can I have tomorrow off? And I went to pray for my neighbor. And God gave me a letter to write to him. And when I wrote the letter, it's like something just came off me. I post a letter. And he said, then what about the other neighbors? My neighbor, the old man, came out the next time I saw him. And when he came out, he came out. And I didn't realize it was not in church performing. It was the presence of God that got inside of me. It's what you are out there, not what you are in here. And what you are out there will affect what you are in here. And that which is out there will come in here. Because what is should be out there is in here. And that's how our church grew. Magnetically. I love you. I'm excited about you. Oh, man, I could take you. Sorry, Pastor, but I could take them all home. The praise and the worship just is awesome. Listen to me. Yarlis here, he will tell you. We used to have people queuing up trying to get into the church. You understand? Because the presence of God. We never advertised. We never sent out leaflets. We never think. Just people working with people. They'd say, where do you go on weekends? Come and see. That's what's going to happen here. That's what's going to happen in Norway. Are you hearing me? No one comes to God except the Spirit draws them. Songs of Solomon 1:4, draw me and I will run after you. My beloved is mine and I am his. My beloved is mine. Don't just say Jesus is mine. Be honest and make yourself his. My beloved is mine and I am his. My beloved is mine and I am his. My beloved is mine. And I am his. My beloved is mine. And I am his. And I used to work with people and that's all I would say. My beloved is mine. And I am his. And then you begin to practice his presence. My beloved is mine. And I am his. I'm not the devil's. I'm not the world's. I'm not the flesh. My beloved is mine and I am his. Something is happening right now. And God wants to give you back your credibility and your influence. And he's saying right now, it will be his credibility and his influence that will come in through your life. Jesus said, don't leave, don't go anywhere until you go into Jerusalem and receive power. 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 And I declare right now, that certain anointings are transferable. Your neighbors, if you want them to come, many times we're out trying to witness to people, we're giving them answers to questions they're not asking. Are you hearing me? We're trying to give them answers and they're not even asking the question. So they haven't got a clue what we're talking about. Lord, I'm praying right now that you will draw them. But first draw me. And if you're here and you're saying, Lord, right now, I want all that goes with godliness. I want it all. I want the full package. Hallelujah. Some of you, your marriage is going to really improve. Your family life is going to improve. Because when godliness comes and the reverence for God, oh, I just sense his presence. Anyone that's here right now saying, Father God, I want what you want for me. You stand to your feet and raise your hands. I'm going to pray with you right now.
Takk for at du hørte på vår podcast. Har du spørsmål eller ønsker du å vite mer? Søk oss på vår nettside tonsbergfrikirke.no. Du også velkommen til kirke på Brygga I Tønsberg.